Morning, TBC. Shout out to Desmond for his mainly music support. And I've said it before, but TBC food culture is outstanding. How many lunches are coming up? Who's a new person and a young family, and who's going to go to both? I mean, so good. And I have to confess, my morning started today with bacon, eggs, and hash browns with a bunch of guys who are seeking the Lord for what he's doing amongst guys here at TBC. How good's that? I was at Elders last week, lemon slice. Oh. So the food culture here needs no improvement. Just keep doing what we're doing. It is so good. So I don't know what your week has been like, but you know, God is with us through all of it. Yesterday, I was also involved here with Joan's funeral, and those are incredibly meaningful times as we see God in the middle of loss, comforting, and bringing to mind the things that matter most. Our loved ones and our walk with him. And so have you been aware of God's presence, you know, through your week? And have you been obeying, implementing the things that he's put in your world and on your heart? Have you been seeking him when it's got difficult? You know, when it's like, whoa, what's going on, Lord? Have you been turning to him? Has Moses kind of made you self-reflect, you know, on your own relationship with the Lord and what is happening just day to day, you know, when you leave here, you're in your workplaces, you're with your mates, you're on the sports field. Has a habit of doing that when you spend some time in the Word and you're like, okay, what does that mean for me? So this last week we were with Moses and he was in Egypt and he was starting to implement and obey the strategies that God had given to him. You might remember he'd already gone to see the elders and they had believed. He then went to Pharaoh, and how did that go? That went badly. Things started to get really, really difficult. But Moses remained in faith, didn't he? What did he do? He's like, I'm struggling. Lord, help me. I don't understand. And so Moses turned to the Lord. He's staying in faith, seeking the Lord for his help, his wisdom at that time. And you might remember what Moses asked. This is what Moses said. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. And you might remember that the first thing the Lord said to Moses was this: now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out. But these weren't the last words that the Lord said to Moses. And so we are with Moses today, again, in Egypt. He's still in Egypt. And he's in the middle of a conversation with the Lord. He's in the middle of the same conversation that he was having last week, still going. And this is what the Lord says to Moses. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. So what is so significant about what the Lord is now saying to Moses? Remember, Moses is like, man, this is going badly. Help me, Lord. And this is what the Lord says. This is a continuation of how the Lord is trying to encourage and help Moses at this time. So the Lord is reminding Moses of three things. He's reminding Moses of three things. Firstly, that he is the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Secondly, that he made a covenant, a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to rescue them and give them land. And then thirdly, that the Lord is aware of the current struggle and he has not forgotten his promise. So these three things that the Lord just said to Moses are clearly reminders. How do we know that? How do we know that Moses is being reminded of these things? Because the Lord had already talked to Moses about these things at the burning bush. And I find that fascinating because when the task that the Lord gives us to obey and implement starts to get difficult and we get overwhelmed, often what we actually need in that moment is to be reminded of what the Lord has already said. We need to be reminded of what he has already promised. Does that make sense? And so even if you start to reflect upon your own life, when you're going and doing the things that you know that the Lord has placed on your heart, that he's asked you to do, that the pathway that the scriptures have laid out for us, and it gets really, really difficult, sometimes the encouragement we need so that we can stay in faith and remain in what he's doing is simply a reminder of what has already been said. Now, that same dynamic exists for us today. It's not just what happened there for Moses. In fact, if we jump to the New Testament for a moment, we look again at the role of the Holy Spirit, we will see, what will we see? Again, this is Jesus talking just before he's crucified, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. One of the roles, the functions of the Holy Spirit in our life is to remind us of what Jesus has already said. By the Holy Spirit, God will talk to us, teach us, glorify Jesus, but he will also remind us of what Jesus has already said. And we need that. We need these reminders. It strengthens us. It keeps us in faith. It helps us to remember that God has made promises to us, that he is powerful. Praise the Lord for his grace. Not only is he with us, but he is with us to remind us. And it is one of the greatest encouragements when the Lord reminds you of something. And often when things get difficult, just like Moses, you forget. And you come under pressure. And actually being reminded that the Lord knew that he's with you, that he has promised that he will lead you through this, is more than enough. But that's not all that the Lord says at that point. You know, God's got more to say to Moses. So he's reminded Moses of these promises. He's reminded that he is God of Abraham and Isaac. But he now encourages Moses, pass on this reminder to the Israelite people. Don't just keep that to yourself. Now I want you to pass it on. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. So the Lord now directs Moses to talk to the Israelite people and to remind them of the Lord's power and his promises. Firstly, Moses needs to remind them that it was always the Lord's plan to set them free from this slavery. Secondly, Moses needs to declare the Lord's purpose, to reveal who he is, to take them as his people, and he will be their God. And thirdly, Moses needs to remind them that the Lord will honor the promise that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Israelites would have been aware of this promise. It was passed down through the generations. And just like the Lord reminded Moses, in this moment the Lord is saying, now remind the Israelite people. The Lord will remind us for our own personal faith walk, but we are also reminded of his promises, his characteristics, and his truth so that we can be a reminder to other people. We are a body of Christ, and we are there to strengthen each other. We are blessed so that we can bless other people. We are encouraged that we can encourage other people. We are also reminded of his truths and wisdom so that we can also then remind others of these things. And so we pass that on. We spur each other on by reminding them of who the Lord is. He is almighty. He is the beginning and the end. He has died for our sins. You can be forgiven. There's nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of Christ. Whatever the reminder is that is needed in that moment for that person, we breathe life and speak it out as we spur each other on, reminding each other of what Jesus has said. How powerful it is. If you have made a mistake and you feel condemned and someone speaks life into that situation, this says the grace of the Lord. Nothing can separate you. There is not an end to his forgiveness when you turn to him. And that person is suddenly set free and able to remain in his purposes. We are reminded of his promises and his truth so that we can remind other people. There's a wonderful example of this actually happening in Acts, and it's an interesting moment, if you can bear with me, and we have a look at it. And so the Lord used Peter to share the good news of Jesus with the Gentiles. First time that this has happened after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You know, at that point, they're thinking that God is focused on the Jewish people. And then the Lord starts to lead Peter to share the good news with Gentiles. And so he did this, and God moved powerfully, and the other believers got a little bit upset with him, going, what are you doing? I don't get it. And this is what happened. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. What are you doing? This makes no sense." In response, Peter then recounts how God orchestrated everything, how he led him into that moment, how he had a vision, how people showed up at his door, and eventually he's sharing the gospel. And then he finishes with this explanation. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and as he had come on us at the beginning, then I remembered what the Lord had said." I underlined it so you could notice it. "Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying to them, "So then even to Gentiles, God has granted acceptance that leads to life." So in that moment, God was actually outworking an unfamiliar situation for all of them. It was unfamiliar for Peter, but God was step-by-step leading him into this. And as God moved by his Holy Spirit, then he's reminded of the words of Jesus, which helped him to understand and accept what was happening in front of him, helped him to see that God's actually in this, helped him to see that this work of God was valid. And so when the other believers started to challenge him on this, he recounts the story. He talks about what God did. And then he also passes on that reminder to them. I was reminded of the words of Jesus. This helped me to actually understand this. And together they were able to believe and to walk into the work that God was doing at that time. Does that make sense? And that's what we're all called to. We have the same God with us at this time. And he's reminding us so that we can strengthen each other. He's reminding us so that we can stay in the work that he's doing. When we're struggling and it's not going well, in faith we turn to him. He will speak into our life. He'll strengthen us. And one of the things he'll do is he'll remind us of who he is, what he's capable of, and what he has already promised to us. So we're going to come back to Moses now. So slight deviation into the New Testament with Peter. Back to the conversation with Moses. Of all the things that God said to Moses, the declaration that he will take them as his people by their God and honor his promise to Abraham is of great significance. The declaration that God will take them to be his people and he will honor the promise to Abraham is of huge significance. I'm recapping the words we just read. "I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So let's look in more detail at this reminder because it has great significance. The declaration and promise, this declaration and promise to Abraham was first made in Genesis. So it is a reminder of what God had said to Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." A little bit later on in Genesis, there's other times where the Lord is talking to Abraham about it, and here's one of them. "On that day, the Lord made a covenant or promise with Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates.'" This is the declaration, the promise that the Lord is reminding Moses and saying, "Now remind the Israelites of this declaration, this blessing to Abraham, this promise that I made to him." Why? Why was it important at this time? Because the Israelites were on the precipice, the threshold of the Lord honoring and fulfilling this promise. When the Lord brought them out of Egypt, which in the next few weeks we're going to see how that plays out, this was not just the Lord reaching into the slavery and setting them free from their oppression. This was the fulfillment of the promise and the blessing that had been made to Abraham. It was important that they understood this, that they would be his people. They would be God's people. He would be their God, and he will bless them, fulfilling the promises he made to Abraham. Is that making sense? This is that moment in history. So how is that relevant to us today as we sit here in New Zealand, bottom of the earth, almost? At the beginning of the series, we reflected on the importance of reading the Old Testament. I don't know if you remember some of that. We talked about the fact that God of the Old Testament, same God. He's our God. His character then, his character now, we've got the same God. So we learn about the characteristics of our God through the Old Testament. We also learn about the promises that were made that are then fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That's another thing that we talked about. The other thing is we learn about the truths and wisdoms that are still relevant as we serve our Lord today, as we are faithfully walking with him. The Old Testament is full, laying out truths and wisdoms that we need. So all of these things are important. So in this historical moment, the blessing of Abraham's descendants, where they will become his people, he will be their God, and they will receive the land, actually happened, and we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. But this blessing and promise to Abraham was also a blueprint, a representation in the natural realm of what Jesus Christ has now made available to us in the spiritual realm. So let's read on a couple of scriptures that talk specifically about this blessing in the New Testament. The blessing of Abraham has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham is available to all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It's quite poignant when you think about it. And then further on in the same chapter, okay, we're jumping further on in Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham is available to all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Then the blessing of Abraham is made available to you. At the end of Galatians 3, Paul then writes this helpful summary. This is the last one. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who knows that song, Father Abraham, had many sons? You can't not think about it, can you? Many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Man, don't songs stick? That was sowed into my life when I was long, so high, and then pops out a few years later. Reflecting on age, hang out with a bunch of guys having bacon and eggs and you start thinking about, anyway. We all inherit the blessing that was promised to Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. Rest with that for a moment. So what is this inheritance? What is the blessing of Abraham that is now available to us? Today, here now, through faith in Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we all become his people. And he becomes our God. We are all his people, and he becomes our God. It doesn't matter what country we live in. It doesn't matter what part of the world. We have become one family in Christ, and the blessing of Abraham's have been released to us. And one of the greatest blessings is that we are one family. We are his people. We are united, and he is our God. Amen. We also receive his blessing. When we are brought into that family, he pours his blessing out upon his people. What is the blessing that he pours out upon his people? We've become his people through faith in Jesus Christ. And as we have traveled over the years, we have brothers and sisters all over the world. It doesn't matter what country you're in. When you come face to face with another brother and sister, you have the same faith in the Lord. You share the same spirit. Then you are family. It's one of the greatest miracles. If you talk about greater works are still to come, when Jesus says a greater work is still to come, the multiplication of what Jesus did has been multiplied through the body of Christ, through the whole world, so that every nation and culture has been touched by the good news of Jesus, and the gateway has been opened for people to receive the blessing of being God's people no matter where you've come from. Isn't that amazing? It's just the most amazing blessing. And then he pours out his blessing, his presence, his power, his protection, his peace, his provision, his purpose, his rest, wherever you are in the world, this is available to us. We may be anywhere. And then in the age to come, when we die, or if we're alive and Christ returns, we will be welcomed to eternal life with our Lord, where we will be with him, we will worship him in a new heaven and a new earth. And that blessing is still to come. But there is a measurable blessing that has already been poured out and is available to us. Let me read. I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures from the New Testament to illustrate the immeasurable blessing that we have received. And I hope that it almost excites you and it almost kind of presents before you more of what is available to us here and now. We become his people. This mind-blowing. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, we are brought into his family. We receive the inheritance of the kingdom. His presence, we receive the blessing of his presence. There are so many ways that this could be illustrated. This is just one. At the end, this is the resurrected Jesus sending out the disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And what does it say at the end? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. His presence, he is with us. The blessing that he is with us. His power. Again, we could illustrate this in so many different ways. This is what he is saying again, resurrected Jesus saying this to the disciples. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We receive his power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside all those who believe. Have you thought about that power? It's not just his presence. It's not just his wisdoms and truth made available to us. It's his power. We also receive his protection. Again, we can illustrate this in so many different ways. This is one. I will remain in the, this is Jesus' prayer before he was crucified. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. He's praying for our protection. Jesus protected his disciples while he was walking with them. His protection is still available to us because the name above all names is our Lord, and we are welcomed into his family. Everything is his. He has authority over the wind and the ocean and creation, and he has the authority over spirits and demons, and he has authority over all things. He's our God. His peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. His peace is available to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It transcends all understanding because we're still in a fallen world. It is still sinful and broken, and there are hardships and difficulties, but his peace is always available. And he will gift you his peace in the midst of whatever you were going through. Praise the Lord for that blessing. But when it gets hard, like Moses, Lord, it's so difficult. You turn to him and he will remind you. And in that place of reminding, then you start to receive a manifestation of that truth as you believe afresh and you receive that peace. His provision. These are blessings that are available now. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Jesus is teaching his disciples. This is early on in his ministry. What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We live in this world, we have needs. The Father knows that we need them. The Lord knows that we need these things. It's not that we don't need them, but we don't need to get anxious and worried about them. Seek his kingdom and he will meet your needs. That is a mind-blowing truth that can shake how we think and go about life. It's very easy to be drawn into the place where we are laboring for our needs. There is always work to do. In this world, we are constantly going to be serving and doing his work, but the Lord will bring it together in a way where our needs are met and we do not need to be anxious about it because he is our provider. His purpose. We're almost there. There's two more blessings we're going to talk about. But it's just too exciting. We could just write a whole list and spend all day on it, but we're scratching the surface. His purpose. He gives us his purpose. It's not actually only just his peace and his provision and protection. It's actually awakening in us an understanding of this is why you're here, this is what you're doing, this is the reason that you are actually going about life and why I am now with you and what I'm going to be asking you to do. So there are different ways we could illustrate. This is just one. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to what? To equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, sometimes we think of the body of Christ being built up numerically. Yes, more, Lord. But maturity is also what's at stake here, that we go deeper and wider in our understanding of who the Lord is and what is available to us in him, and it's all about his glory and not getting distracted by anything other than that. Praise the Lord. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, what? Speaking the truth in love. We will grow. Truth and love, they go together. Love without truth, truth without love, truth and love. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's us. We're the body of Christ. Actually, we're a fingernail in comparison to the body of Christ in this world. But we build each other up. We all have work to do. We're all part of this network of believers who are given tasks by the Lord to speak truth and love, to bring the gospel to the far corners of the earth, to stand in the middle of difficult situations and shine the light of Christ. We all have work to do. We all have a part to do in that. What's our purpose? Everything else is secondary, other than the work that God is giving to us. Everything else is a vehicle. Everything else is a vehicle so that we can actually bring the good news of the Lord to every person so that they have an opportunity to also enter God's family and receive this blessing. And we, lastly, on my list, it's not lastly in terms of what's available, we receive his rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Love that. There is a rest available to us. Not an absence of a yoke. We receive a yoke. A yoke being like what goes across two oxen. There's work to do. Yeah? It's not, you're going to rest and not have work to do. No, there's purpose, there's work to do, but the work is not going to crush you. It's not a burden. My yoke is easy, Jesus says. So there will be an ease and a peace and a freedom in the work that he's getting us to do. In some respects, that's part of our discernment. When we're doing the work that the Lord is asking us to do, there is a rest in it and a peace in it. And it helps us to understand that we're actually in his will in that moment. There is a rest that is available to us. In fact, the promised land is often described as the Israelites receiving their rest. It actually represents, after you have received your rest, it would be one of the adjectives that is described at the beginning of Joshua and at one point, in Deuteronomy, to talk about the land that they are to receive. So let's wrap this all up. So we're journeying with Moses. He is struggling. He's turned to the Lord. The Lord has encouraged him by reminding. He is then encouraging Moses to pass that reminder on. In the middle of that reminder is the reminder of this great promise that was actually fulfilled in the natural realm for the Israelite people. But in Christ, the blessing of Abraham, and that promise is available to all of us through the Holy Spirit, no matter where we are in the world, and his blessing is poured out upon us. Remembering and being reminded of God's promises and plans is actually really important. And so we have to turn to the Lord to be reminded by his grace. We need to pass that on to others. When the Lord reminds us, it's often he's reminding us of something that maybe directly a scripture that we've read. He reminds us of what Jesus has already given to us. But he actually might remind you of a moment where he has taught you, a wisdom and a truth from the scripture, and remind you of that moment when he taught that to you and where he awakened it in you. And then we have to pass it on to others because we're not lone rangers. We're part of the body of Christ. It could not be more clear. And we have a role of strengthening. And one of the greatest ways of strengthening is to remind each other of what we've already received. And you then have to pause and go, so that we can move into more of this blessing that has been awakened and made available to us. Yes, it is a future blessing. There is eternal life available for all who believe. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more sin. There will be no more tears. Oh, we long for that day. And that is beyond imagination to imagine being in that place where everybody is worshiping the Lord and there is no more sin. But there is a blessing that has been gifted to us now, and there is more available. We become his people. He pours out his blessing now so that we can do his work. His presence, peace, protection, provision, power, purpose, and rest is available now. Do you know it? Do you want it? Are you on a precipice moment? Are you on a threshold where the Lord is saying, I want to take you into this? Have you received that? I tried to find a P word for rest, but I couldn't. I even went to a thesaurus. So rest hangs there at the end, a little bit distinct. And in some respects, it's a little bit of a destination. So let's pray, and we have the blessing that the worship team's actually going to come up and actually just play a reflective song. They're going to play. We're going to just spend some time with the Lord. It's not a time to sing and stand. It's just, Lord, we're here listening to these words, seeking you in this moment. Where are you at in your walk with him? What blessings does the Lord want to awaken in your life today? Because the Lord's grace is he doesn't just kind of sink us with all of this all at the same time. He leads us into more and more and more. And so there can be, you can have had a journey of discovering his presence and his power. But what does it actually mean to know his peace? And what does it actually mean to start trusting him as your provider? And what does it mean to actually have his rest? And have you fully understood his purpose in the places that he's put you? Or are you focused on the vehicle and thinking that the vehicle that God's given us is the purpose when actually there's a work to do? I don't know where you're at, but may the Lord actually speak to you as we spend some time reflecting. So let's pray as the team comes up. I love your word, Lord. You have just stirred me to, again, go places that I haven't been recently. You have opened my eyes to truths and reminded me personally in the very act of actually looking at the scripture of your power and your promises and what you are doing amongst us. Lord, you have also just awakened a fresh excitement in me in terms of what you're doing in your people at this moment. And so I pray for your grace that you lead us each into the tasks that you need us to do, an understanding of your presence in our life, a partnership and a unity that goes beyond what we've ever experienced, I pray. And I pray for a mobilization of courage and boldness for us to do the work that you have for us. And I pray you protect us from distractions. I pray that we recognize what is a vehicle and recognize what the destination is. And I pray that you move amongst us today. Amen.